morning. Let's pray. Father, we need you this morning. We need you every morning. We need you every hour of the day. Let's pray, Lord, that you teach us today by your Holy Spirit. Lord, let's pray you bring the word to life, Lord. Let it be a living word and to touch our hearts, penetrate into our life. That we'd hear it and believe it. And I pray you'd be with those who are sick. I pray you'd strengthen them, strengthen the weak. I pray you'd bring healing, Lord, to those who have ailments that can come upon them even daily, Lord. Please touch them. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, I'm going to read in Luke 17. I'll start in verse 1. Then he said to the disciples, "It is impossible that no offenses should come, but woe to him through whom they do come. It would be better for him if a millstone were hung around his neck and he were thrown into the sea than that he should offend one of these little ones. Take heed to yourselves. If your brother sins against you, rebuke him, and if he repents, forgive him. And if he sins against you 7 times in a day, and 7 times in a day returns to you saying, 'I repent,' you shall forgive him." And the apostle said to the Lord, "Increase our faith." So the Lord said, "If you have faith as a mustard seed, you can say to this mulberry tree, 'Be pulled up by the roots and be planted in the sea,' and it would obey you. And which of you, having a servant plowing or tending sheep, will say to him when he comes in from the field, 'Come at once and sit down to eat'? But will he not rather say to him, 'Prepare something for my supper, and gird yourselves, and serve me till I have eaten and drunk, and afterward you will eat and drink'? Does he thank that servant because he did the things that were commanded of him? I think not. So likewise, you, when you have done all those things which you are commanded, say, 'We are unprofitable servants. We have done what was our duty to do.'" So when I was reading that, I stopped at the part where the apostles said, "Increase our faith." And it was a lot of times throughout the week and throughout the day, and or I'm praying, "Lord, I need faith. I need faith for this, and I need faith for that, and pray for others, Lord, help them to have faith." And so when I stopped there and the apostles were asking, "Increase our faith," it made me think, what were they thinking they needed faith for? And what was Jesus' response? Because there's something there that can help us in building our faith. And so we see here that Jesus gives an example. First, he talks about offenses and that, you know what? Offenses are going to come. There's going to be people that are going to offend little ones, those who are young in the faith. And he says, you know, woe to those people. Be careful that that's not one of us, that we're not being a stumbling block to someone. Because it's better if a millstone were hung around our neck and cast into the sea than to offend or cause someone to stumble. And then he says, take heed to yourselves. If your brother sins against you, rebuke him, and if he repents, forgive him. If my brother sins against me, why am I having to take heed to myself? Shouldn't my brother have to take heed to him? You know, I got a brother coming and he's sinning against me 7 times in a day. That's a lot of times. After time number 2, I'm gonna be like, my forgiveness, I already forgive you once, you're doing the same thing. That shows that you're not truly repentant, so you need to repent and so on. And I would be able to justify myself. But Jesus is saying, take heed to yourself. That's a strong exhortation for us. If someone sins against us, I'm supposed to take heed to myself? Yeah, take heed that I don't become offended. Because offense, if I become offended, my faith can go like that. You know, what happens when you're offended? Think of a time in your life when someone offended you. And what happened after that? It's like a snowball. It just starts with being offended. Why is someone offended? Why can you be offended? I know when I've been offended, it's because of pride. A baby can't be offended. Right? I can't offend a little child in Helen's arms. I can, you know, do things to the baby. I could hurt the child. That would be a terrible thing. But if I spoke to the child, he wouldn't understand really what I'm saying. But as we grow up and there's different things we understand, and we get pride, starts to grow. Someone says something to you and there can be an offense very quickly. And then bitterness. After an offense can come, bitterness can set in if you don't deal with it. And this is to be tested with between brothers, sisters, you know, natural brothers, sisters, spiritual ones, and in those who are married, can quickly come in the marriage. Offenses can come very quickly. And you know how quick that can snowball, where bitterness can set in, and all of a sudden, you know, there's verbal lashings and fighting, or maybe silent treatments and different things, and it causes the marriage to fall apart, causes disruption. And it doesn't just affect you, it affects the family. Because bitterness is like poison. You know, it says, beware lest the bitter root come in and many can become defiled. So when you allow bitterness to come in, it defiles many, not just you. So take heed to yourselves. If someone sins against you, they say, okay, I did this again, I'm sorry. It says you need to forgive them 7 times in a day. And then the apostles say, increase our faith. That seemed impossible to them. It seems so difficult. How in the world can I do this? You know, if my wife comes and sins against me and offends me 7 times in a day, somehow, I need to forgive her 7 times. That means 7 is a complete number. So number 8, what does that mean? It means you forgive again. So this can seem impossible, and then you go to the Lord and say, Lord, increase my faith. So how does Jesus answer this? Simple. The first point is very simple. Jesus speaks truth. He speaks the word. And that's, I can read that in Romans 10. Let's start in verse 13. We need the word. The word builds our faith. We need to hear the word and believe the word. And that will build our faith. So if we're not in the word, reading the word and studying the word and trying to hear from the Father through the Holy Spirit, our faith is never going to increase. So Romans 10. And let's start in verse 13. Whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah said, Lord, who has believed our report? So then, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Another version says, so faith comes from hearing, that is, the good news about Christ. I challenged someone this week, and it was a challenge for me. How will people believe unless they hear? And how are they going to hear without a preacher? Are we sharing the good news of Christ? Are we preaching it through our actions and our life and through the words that we say? How are people going to hear without a preacher? We are called to share the good news of Christ. And it says, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. But how are they going to call on him in whom they don't believe? And how are they going to believe unless they hear? Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. There's not one person who doesn't call on the name of the Lord won't be saved. All who come to him, the Father, he will receive them. Everyone who comes to him. But people need to hear. And so that encouraged me to, I need to share. I need to be bold. I don't want to be ashamed of the gospel of Christ. If I'm ashamed of Christ, he's going to be ashamed of me. It said also that outside are the cowardly and the unbelieving and the sexually immoral and liars. There's cowardly there, those who are ashamed of Christ. We don't want to be ashamed. So the first point is we want to hear the word of God. We need to hear the word of God, be in the word of God, and that's going to build our faith. So if you're lacking faith for something, get into the word of God and seek the Lord speak to you. I find just simply when we read the word of God, it's not about, okay, I just need to get my few minutes in here so I can check a box off. But if I actually just take time and say, okay, Lord, open my eyes. I want to learn something. I want to hear from you. And you just take that moment and you just ponder and meditate while you're reading and pray that before. It makes a big difference. Rather than just want to check a box and I got to quickly get this done so I can, tell my parents that I did it. It's like when I was younger and when I was in university at UBC, I went to church every now and again, but I didn't really go. I just slept in. But then I knew my dad would ask, "What did you go to church this morning? And what did they talk about?" And so then I better go because my dad's going to ask if I went to church. So I wanted to make sure I went for my dad, so I could have something that I did it. Well, it didn't help me very much. Rather, we go not because we want to look good to men, because we want to know Jesus. We want to hear his word. We want to hear from him. So come that way in the mornings. Come that way in the evenings. Lord, I need to hear from you. Speak to me. Open my heart. So increase our faith. So now Jesus says, the Lord said, this is the word, we hear it, receive it, it's going to build our faith. If you have faith as a mustard seed, that's a small seed in the garden, you can say to this mulberry tree, be pulled up by the roots and be planted in the sea and it would obey you. So now he says that what a little bit of faith is going to do. Now, I think there's two ways we can see it here. One is, Jesus is saying, it's not about I need to somehow muster up some great faith so that I can, move a mountain. It's God's power is enough. Whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. It only takes a mustard seed for anything to be possible. All things are possible with God. It's like when the rich man, when Jesus went to the rich young ruler, or the rich young ruler came to him and said, what must I do to be saved? And he says, honor your father and mother, don't steal, and, all these things. And he says, all these things I've done. And then Jesus said, one thing you lack, go and sell all that you have and give to the poor. And the man went away sad. And then Jesus talks about how hard it is for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God, and how it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom. And the disciples are like, well, then who can be saved? This just sounds impossible. Who then can be saved? And Jesus said, with man, it's impossible, but not with God. For with God, all things are possible. You see, it only takes a mustard seed of faith for all things to be possible. We don't have to try and muster up and say, okay, I this is not happening because I need greater faith. God is enough. Believe God and his word. Because, and he ties this this idea of the mustard seed and just faith with forgiveness. And we can see that in another passage here. We can see it in Mark 11. When Jesus gave an example about the fig tree and he cursed it and it withered up. And then there was a lesson about that fig tree. In verse 20, Mark 11, 20. Now in the morning, as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. And Peter, remembering, said to him, Rabbi, look, the fig tree which you cursed has withered away. So Jesus answered and said to them, have faith in God. Have faith in God. For this is the whole lesson of why he withered the fig tree. The lesson was, have faith in God. For assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and cast into the sea, does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Some people could stop there and say, this is great. If I just say in my heart and I believe, I'm going to have whatever I say. Lord, I'm not satisfied with a four-bedroom house. I want five or six. You know, I've got seven kids. They're sharing. There's two or three in a room. You know, I don't really have enough to upgrade. I'm going to have faith in God rather than be content with what I have, which is enough. So I'm going to stand on that verse there and just claim that. And maybe I'm going to have to get a second mortgage. Maybe I'm going to have to go into some large debt, so I'm just barely scraping by. But I'm going to get my house. I'm going to trust that God's going to pay the bills at the end of the day. I think you're on some rocky faith. Jesus says, with clothing, you know, food and clothing, with these you should be content. He doesn't say, I'm going to get a six-bedroom home. Right? So we don't want to get deceived with this prosperity gospel that's deceiving many people. Let's see what Jesus talks about when having faith. Have faith in God. For assuredly I say to you, whoever says to the mountain, be cast in the sea, does not doubt it will be done. Verse 24, therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you'll receive them and you will have them. And whenever you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, forgive them, that your Father in heaven may also forgive you your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father in heaven forgive you your trespasses. After that, he talks about that. He doesn't start talking about prosperity. He talks about forgiving anyone whom you have anything against. When you go and you pray, this is why it's good to spend time praying. Because before you pray, if you have anything against anyone, deal with it. And it also will reveal if you have a problem between your marriage, because it says that if you don't dwell with understanding with your wife, your prayers will be hindered. So it's good to pray. That's why it says, men, pray always, lifting up holy hands, or, you know, basically another version says, without dissension. Lift up holy hands and pray always. It's good to pray. I said to my wife this week, we need to pray together. We're lacking. We're lacking in this. You know, we need to pray individually, but we need to pray together too, because when we're two are gathered and you come in agreement for your children, it's powerful. And you can't pray together when there's strife and division. So we need to come together. We need to pray together. It doesn't have to be a long time. Just set aside a few minutes to do that. It's important. So whenever you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, forgive them. Those are mountains. If you have something against someone, it can be a mountain. But when you pray about it and you ask God to take that mountain, that unforgiveness, and cast it to the sea, it will be done. Whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Call on his name. There's another time when Jesus says, it's in Matthew 17:20. In this reference, it's not about forgiveness. Matthew 17:20. It was when a father came and his boy was severely tormented and demon-possessed, and it would throw him in the fire and the water and try and hurt him and kill him. And the disciples tried to cast it out, and they could not. And so they came to Jesus, and they said, well, why couldn't we cast it out? Jesus said, because of your unbelief, for surely I say to you, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you. However, this kind does not come out except by prayer and fasting. So, they had unbelief in their heart. And so, when they tried to cast out the demon, it wouldn't go. But Jesus says, if you have faith as a mustard seed, God's power is enough. It only takes a mustard seed for someone to be free. And so that gives me encouragement to pray for my children and pray for others who are struggling. And because God wants to set them free. And we come with that heart, like, Lord, I know that you love my child more than I could ever. And you want to see them free. You want to see them prospering. You want to see, you want to have a relationship with them. Please set them free. With God, nothing will be impossible. And we can go with that heart, and that word can build our faith as we pray for them. Okay, so how are we going to increase our faith? Hear the word. Receive it. Believe it. Then he goes on to give an example, which it can be hard to tie in with increase our faith. And then he starts talking about a servant out in the field. It's like, why are you talking about this, Lord? There's something here. It's tying in about increasing our faith. And so he says, which of you having a servant plowing or tending sheep will say to him when he comes in from the field, come at once and sit down and eat? Will he not rather say to him, prepare something for my supper, gird yourself and serve me till I have eaten and drunk, and afterward you will eat and drink? And does he thank the servant because he did the things that were commanded of him? I think not. So likewise, when you have done all those things which are commanded, which you are commanded, this is what we're supposed to say. This is the heart we're supposed to have, okay? After we've done all those things that we're commanded, and we do them, we're supposed to say, we are unprofitable servants. We have done what was our duty to do. That unprofitable servant, you know what that means, unprofitable? Useless and good for nothing. After we've obeyed God, after we're obeying his commandments, at the end of it all, at the end of the day, I can't say, Lord, I've done so many good things for you today. You know, I did this good thing, I did that good thing. I'm expecting a blessing. I'm expecting to be blessed now because I've done all the things you commanded me. It's like the servant, you know, I'm going to sit down, kick my feet up, and just serve me now, Lord. Give me what I desire. There's a verse that says he's going to give us every, you know, all things. What's that verse? You know, he'll give us the desires of our heart. You said you're going to give me the desires of my heart. Look what I've done. I'm going to get the desires of my heart now. This is the desires I have. No. We're supposed to say, Lord, I'm a useless and good-for-nothing servant. I'm doing what's my duty to do. And I thank you. You don't have to thank me. I thank you for your mercy and your grace. You know, after I was studying this for the past week or two, I got tested in it this week. Even though I knew the word it said here, and I'm going to share that example. You see, I went to go pick up a package across the line in the States. And I was given two receipts, two invoices. One was the real invoice of how much that cost. Cost $280 US. And the other was a deceitful invoice so that you could take it across the line and you wouldn't have to pay duty or taxes because it was $100 rather than the $280. And so I had a decision to make. And I'm like, I can't use the false invoice, that's lying. And when I was a kid, my parents taught me. I remember when I was in grade 7, someone took me across to buy a tennis racket at Big Five Sporting Goods. And it was only about $65, $70 or something. We didn't want to, back in the day, they would stop you for everything. So we, you know, kind of marked it up, make it look used, put it in our sweat bag, and just drove across. Didn't claim it, just got some ice creams. And I remember my parents found out about it, and they were not happy. They said, we're going to take you there, and you're going to confess it, and you're going to make it right. And I remember that. And so when I had these invoices, I remembered that, and also the conviction of the Holy Spirit spoke to me. I had conviction in my heart that this is not right. And so I went and I got the package, and I took the real invoice, and I got some gas and a couple jerry cans of gas, $50. And I picked up another package, $60. Normally I could just go with $50 and $60, go right through and say what I got, and I'd say, no problem, go ahead. But I had this $280 invoice. And so because of that, they made me pay duty on the $280 plus the $50 jerry cans, which I never hardly have to pay on jerry cans, plus the $60 package, which I never have to pay on. And it cost me an extra $20. And so I go pull in, and the first things out of my mouth to myself were, Lord, I did what was right, and you didn't bless me. You didn't show mercy. I was expecting mercy. I was doing what was right, and I was supposed to get mercy. You know, they were supposed to just say, go ahead, because I was honest. But I had to go in, and I had to pay money. And as I'm grumbling in my spirit, I remembered this verse. We're unprofitable servants. We're just doing what our duty is. And when I remembered it, it built my faith. See, when I was grumbling, my faith was small. But when I remembered the word, my faith was built, and I became encouraged. And I said, Lord, this is your money anyway. You know, if I have it, I could give it here, or I could give it there. It's up to you. And you say, I should pay my taxes, and that's in the Bible, and so I pay my taxes. I could say, well, they get enough. You know, they get enough. Why should they get more? No, I'm not going to justify myself. I'm going to do what's right and obey my conscience. And just say, I'm a useless servant. And so that's just an example. It doesn't have to be with money. It could be with anything. It could be a command in the Bible that maybe you don't understand and you're struggling with, and say, I don't really have faith for that. There's a command I don't have faith for. Maybe it's something you fear man about. Say, oh man, sharing the gospel, I fear man. What are they going to think about me? But if we just come with the attitude, you know what, it's in the Bible, I'm going to believe it. People need to hear the good news, I'm going to share it. It doesn't matter if they look down on me or if they think something about me. We need to say that we're useless, unprofitable servants. There's a couple examples here of, there's only twice where Jesus says, now this person has great faith. And I think we need to look at those to see what they did. What did they do to show that they had great faith? Let's look at the first one in Luke 7, 1 to 10. It was a centurion, okay, a Roman centurion, who a centurion would have people under him. He would have when I was looking it up, they said that he could have anywhere from 80 to 100 people under him that he's in charge of. And so it says now in verse 1, when he concluded all his sayings in the hearing of the people, he entered Capernaum, and a certain centurion's servant who was dear to him was sick and ready to die. So when he heard about Jesus, he sent elders of the Jews to him, pleading with him to come and heal his servant. When they came to Jesus, they begged him earnestly, saying that the one for whom he should do this was deserving, for he loves our nation and has built us a synagogue. Then Jesus went with them, and when he was already not far from the house, the centurion sent friends to him, saying to him, Lord, do not trouble yourself, for I am not worthy that you should enter under my roof. Therefore, I did not even think myself worthy to come to you, but say the word, and my servant will be healed. And then he says, you know, I also am a man placed under authority, having soldiers under me. And I say to one, go, and he goes, and to another, come, and he comes. And to my servant, do this, and he does it. When Jesus heard these things, he marveled at him and turned around and said to the crowd that followed him, I say to you, I have not found such great faith, not even in Israel. What was it that demonstrated to Jesus this man had great faith? First of all, he sent servants to Jesus. Jesus, you can heal my servant. He believed that. Not only that, he had an attitude of humility. I'm an unworthy, right? He says, I'm not worthy to even to come to you. That's why I sent these friends. I'm not worthy to even to come to you. That wasn't false humility. This man, he had a humble heart. And it showed in his love for his servant. I wonder how many people really loved their servants in that day. I think a lot of them mistreated their servants. This Roman centurion, this servant was dear to him. He loved his servant. And he said he loved their nation and he built them a synagogue. He was generous. So he had some fruit in his life. And even though he had people under him, he recognized that he was also under authority. See, he humbled himself. And it's good for us to submit to one another in the fear of the Lord. Not to just think, okay, I have people under me, but I also am under authority. And then he just said, you know what? Just say the word. You're not worthy to come into my house. I'm not worthy, sorry, for you to come into my house. It's like John the Baptist says also, I'm not worthy to even carry the sandals of Jesus. I'm not worthy. Paul said, what's that verse? I am the least of the apostles, who am not worthy to be called an apostle, in 1 Corinthians 15:9, because I persecuted the church. Do you see that attitude amongst true disciples, amongst the true children of God? They come with the attitude of saying, I'm not worthy. And because they have that attitude, it's easy to forgive. It's easier to believe, right? It's easy to obey when you recognize that you're not worthy. The other example is in Matthew 15. Verse 21, Matthew 15:21. Then Jesus went out from there and departed to the region of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came from that region and cried out to him, saying, have mercy on me, O Lord, son of David, my daughter is severely demon-possessed. But he answered her not a word, and his disciples came and urged him, saying, send her away, for she cries out after us. But he answered and said, I was not sent except to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then she came and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. But he answered and said, it's not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the little dogs. And she said, yes, Lord, yet even the little dogs eat the crumbs which fall from the master's table. Then Jesus said to her, O woman, great is your faith. Let it be to you as you desire, and her daughter was healed from that very hour. Why was her faith so great? I can see a couple things. She continued to persevere. Even though Jesus said a couple times, I didn't come except for except to Israel, to the lost sheep of Israel. And then he said, it's not good to throw the bread to the little dogs. She just persisted. Lord, help me. I need help. And also, she humbled herself. It was like she said, I'm not worthy. I'm as a little dog. I'm just a little dog. I acknowledge. I just need a crumb. I just need a crumb, and that will be enough for me. Because the power of God is so great. Just give me that little bit. It's enough to set my daughter free. It's enough to help me overcome my fear, man. It's enough to help me overcome my unbelief. It's enough to help me to overcome the love of money, to the lust, the pride. The crumb is enough. Do you believe that? His power is great. We just need the seed of faith. And it is enough. But we just have to come. So from that, from the response in the words of Jesus, when they say increase our faith, it doesn't take a lot for a mountain to be moved. His power is great. We need to build it through reading the word, hearing the word, and believing it. And we need to come as one who's a servant that has the heart of, I am not worthy, I'm useless. And when we come that way, it's not a false humility. And to Jesus, when we say, I'm an unworthy servant, you know what Jesus says? You're worthy. You're worthy. It's not Jesus saying you're unworthy. That's totally different, because he said that to some people. If you don't take up your cross and come after me, you're not worthy of me. If you don't love me more than your father, mother, wife, children, you're not worthy of me. And then he said to the one who had the one talent and buried it, you're not worthy. But Jesus, when we come and we know that we've been bought with a price, therefore glorify God with your bodies, it says, because we've been bought with a price, then we can say, Lord, I'm unprofitable. I know I'm not worthy. Jesus says, you're worthy. You've been bought with a price. You've been bought with my precious blood. Let him say we're worthy. Let us fall at his feet and cast down our crowns before him and say that you are Lord over all. Let your name be glorified. Let your name, it says that his name is above every other name, on earth, above the earth, and under the earth. His name is great. And we need to bow to that name. And our faith will be built and will be great as we come with humility. Amen.